Hey everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, and you are listening to Damage 365 Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
It's the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. With the Enforcer.
I believe they're called Enforcers, Gordon.
I sell women's shoes.
And the Stallion.
Stallion, baby!
I am not what you would call a handsome man.
I'll kick you in the nuts and you'll smile at me and like it.
All night long. Well, it's Thursday, March 23rd. We might be live. We might not be live. This might be the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. Might not be the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. I can't really say anymore. Things are just a little bit, things are a little wacky right now here in technology land. This is the Stallion. The Enforcer is pacing back and forth like a caged animal in my house right now, trying to make sure that we actually are live and on the air. So we're going to test that out while we're live right now and see if we're actually on the air. And hopefully we are. We could talk a little wrestling with some of you folks out there. And the idea of tonight's episode was we were going to have the Beer City Bruiser on of Ring of Honor fame. And independent wrestling elsewhere as well. He's agreed to talk to us for a few minutes tonight about a few different things in the wrestling world going on with Ring of Honor and himself and his career. But we are having all sorts of difficulties trying to get him on the line. So we are going to do our best to bring him in, hopefully in the next few minutes. And we may or may not have the Enforcer on the line right now. I can't tell. Mikey, are you there, my friend?
I'm here, buddy. Can you hear me?
I can, in fact, hear you on the show.
All right. So, I mean, it sounds like we have the issue troubleshooting.
I don't know. I can't promise anything at this point. But we're on the air, and I'm sure people are getting a kick out of this right now. So. Do we have the Enforcer live and in person is the question.
We do have the Enforcer live and in person. We're here. I'm hoping we're going to have the Beer City Bruiser on momentarily. I think I've willed it enough that we're going to be okay. So here we are. You know, I'm sitting here drinking a beer. Joe's going to break something in his kitchen, depending on what it might be.
This is the, you know, what's Baron Corbin's finisher? End of days? This is the end of days for me right now. I have nothing left to give anybody. We spent the last 40 minutes trying to get a phone call to work. A phone call. Who invented the telephone?
It was Alexander Graham, asshole. Oh. Because, no. This is, let me tell you something.
AGA.
Oh, this is definitely going to be an R-rated show. I can't begin. We have somebody. Ring of Honor personality, Ring of Honor professional wrestler, the Beer City Bruiser, gracious enough to come on our show, the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast, which at the end of the day is just a couple of jerk-offs talking wrestling, right? Here we are. We can't even – it's not our fault. I will take full responsibility for things that are my fault. Joe, you're not one to shy away from responsibility.
Most things are my fault, but in this case, I don't believe it is.
Most things – are our fault. Well, you know, mine and yours together. But when you have a service that you pay for, like Blog Talk Radio, that service should indeed give us our basic requirements.
Provide the service they're actually promising that they're going to provide.
I don't go to a laundromat expecting it to do calculus homework. I go to a laundromat expecting it to give me my clean laundry after I put it in the laundry machine. It's A to B. There we go. And it seems like hopefully, and I don't have to break anything, we've got the Beer City Bruiser on the line. Can you hear us, Beer?
I can hear you now, guys.
Listen, we appreciate you sticking with us. The only good thing to come out of this is I've been able to indulge in a couple extra Oktoberfests.
Oh, nice.
Well, listen, first and foremost, welcome to the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. We appreciate you taking time out of your very busy schedule to come and talk to us, and it means a lot, and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, Beer City, listen, before we get into it, I got to know, what's the Bruiser's favorite beer? What are we looking at?
My favorite beer is actually Yingling. I very rarely get it here in the Midwest, so whenever I go to the East Coast, I try to indulge in it as much as possible. And it's won my heart
over. I am, being that, you know, we are both Long Islanders here, Yingling is definitely very, very familiar to us. And listen, we'll let you know when Ring of Honor comes back for World Worlds in New York City, we're going to bring you a case of Yingling.
Oh, I would definitely like that. I love whenever we go to New York, you know, get the Yingling for the hotel room and stuff. And, like, all the bars have it on tap, which is real nice. And I get to splurge when I'm out on the East Coast.
Yeah, I will say our bar scene, they definitely have a lot of craft beer. And especially looking towards Long Island, it's like they're trying to make it the craft beer mecca. So that's something, like I said, when you get here, we'll definitely go out. And the least we could do for making you hold on for 40 minutes is we could all indulge in a couple of good old craft beers.
Sounds good to me.
Speaking of the Beer City Bruiser and the Beer City gimmick, which to me is just I think it's one of the best going right now. Where did the Beer City Bruiser, where did that originate?
It was after I got back from training with Harley Race. I was kind of just floating around all the indies out here. And a guy knew he was also doing it. And he says, you know, we should really just form a tag team. I said, yeah, that's fine. And then he says, well, we need to come up with a name. And I said, well, let's just do what we do. And he's like, okay, what's that? He says, well, we drink and we fight. So we were originally a tag team called the Beer City Bruisers. And then he retired from wrestling. And I decided, you know what? I'm just going to keep the name. It's a cool name. So, and it's me. I mean, I that's what I do. I drink beer and I fight. So we took the S off, and it became the Beer City Bruiser.
Beer City. At the Beer City Bruiser, and you know that's not like anything else going today. And you said you got your start with Harley Race. Now, growing up, were you a diehard professional wrestling fan?
Yeah, I've always been a wrestling fan since I was like 7 years old. I used to try and find my early inspiration was Bruiser Brody. So growing up in Milwaukee, we only pretty much had WWF and AWA at our fingertips. But on ESPN, sometimes they play like the WCCW, and they play Mid-Atlantic and stuff like that. So I would actively go out and try and find, get a Bruiser Brody fix. And then, this might be dating myself, but back when you had the tape traders, I used to go and just get VHS tapes of Brody as much as I could. So I've been a fan of wrestling forever. Like, it's always been in my life.
You mentioned that you trained with Harley Race. Is that how you got your start, like, in the business with Race, or did you try to have a couple of different schools that you trained at before you met Harley?
I actually, a friend of mine's neighbor was a professional wrestler here in Milwaukee, and he introduced me to a guy named Trevor Adonis, who used to be an old WWF job guy by the name of Jim Evans. And he's the one that got me started in wrestling. After about 2 years, I started doing the Harley Race week-long camps. And Harley just fell in love with me right away and kept trying to talk me into moving down there. After about 4 years in wrestling, that's when I decided, hey, I'm going to move down full-time. And I trained under Harley for another 4 or 5 years down there. I look at it as like I kind of went to like grade school and high school here in Milwaukee under Trevor, and then I went to college under Harley. And that's why I really perfected the craft, was learning from Harley.
What was Harley Race like as, you know, as a teacher, as a mentor? Because you hear stories about him as one of the most legitimate tough guys in the business. I can only imagine his school was run the same way.
Yeah, every story you hear of Harley is true. That man can put away his liquor. I've drank with him, and he's drank me into the table a couple times. He's still, you know, 70-plus years old, still probably the toughest guy I know. Training at the school was amazing. We learned every aspect of wrestling from conditioning, in-ring, you know, like putting matches together and stuff like that, all the way to talking to promoters, how to conduct an interview, how to conduct a media. He literally taught us everything. With the town that we lived in, Eldon, Missouri, was such a small town. Everybody knew you were a Harley student. So if you did anything wrong in that town, Harley found out about it. And you never wanted to be called into to Harley's office, you know, on a day off because you knew you were in trouble. It was kind of like, you know, dad calling to scold you, you know, and Harley has that gruff voice, you know, where you knew you were in trouble. But like I said, every story you ever heard of Harley is absolutely true. He still is the toughest guy I know.
And you are by no means an old guy, but that old school mentality that Harley Race instilled in you, do you feel like that's something that a lot of the up and coming wrestlers today, I don't want to lump them all into, you know, one group, but that they don't have that kind of old school mentality like some, you know, like some a guy like you or Harley Race would?
Yeah, I think that's lacking today. And like you said, don't lump them all together. There's schools out there that teach the old school method. And it's still alive out there. But there's so many young guys nowadays that, you know, some Joe Blow down the street decided to put a ring in his backyard and teach them wrestling. That it's something that needs to be instilled even more, I think. The school I train at, the Thumper's Den Wrestling Academy, we pound in their heads the old school thinking. That old school mentality, because that's why the business has survived as long as it has, is because of that old school thinking. You need the tough guys in wrestling. You know, nowadays, the thing that kind of helps when you see a tough guy gimmick like myself or something like that, or like even you go back to Harley Race or Crusher, when you looked at those guys, you didn't want to walk up to them in a bar and get into a fight. They look like true tough guys. And I think that attitude needs to come back in professional wrestling now. You know, so many people are worried about selling t-shirts and making a dime instead of actually getting, you know, true heat or getting people actually upset at them, you know, where they want to fight them afterwards.
I feel like especially with a lot of the bad guys today, you know, people are, you know, the quote-unquote heels, they're more worried about getting over than they are like being hated by the crowd. And I feel like that's a lost art, and only so many, you know, wrestlers today can actually pull that off.
I agree. I think it's a very lost art. And I think it's because that old school mentality is slowly, I shouldn't say it's going away, because it'll never go away. As long as I'm teaching, and I know, like I said, there's other schools out there, like the Monster Factory still teaches the old school ways. The Ring of Honor Dojo still teaches the old school ways. As long as there's that old school mentality still being taught, it'll never go away. I just think it needs to start taking over again like it used to.
So now you were a part of the 2015 ROH Top Prospect Tournament. So how did that come to pass where you were in that tournament? Did you have any contacts with ROH? Did they have some folks that were scouting you and found you in other promotions, then they invited you to be in that tournament?
I had some contact with Ring of Honor. Steve Carino is actually a really good friend of mine. I consider him a mentor. And Carino at the time was really heavily involved with Ring of Honor and had always told me about their tryout camps. I'd done a dark match for Ring of Honor when they were here in Milwaukee, but it was always just talking. It was never anything beyond that. When my father passed away in 2013, he left some money aside in his will for me to attend the Ring of Honor tryout camp. Cause he'd always been telling me, you know, you need to do this. And I always came up with an excuse of why I couldn't do it. And normally it was money related. So basically when he passed away and left that money for me, there was no way out of me not doing the camp. So I ended up doing the tryout camp and just hitting a home run with it. I remember learning so much at that camp, but when I went in there, I thought to myself, if I'm going to do this camp, I'm not just going to go in and be a guy that are like, oh, that's a decent looking guy, it's a decent character. I wanted to go in and kick the door wide open and basically show them why they needed me in Ring of Honor. And I felt like I did that. After the tryout camp was done, that's when I started getting emails from the office and stuff. And that's when they said, hey, you're going to be in the top prospect tournament. With the top prospect tournament, you don't know anything that's going on. You don't know who you're wrestling. You don't know how many rounds you're going. You know nothing. They keep you completely in the dark. So when I found out I was going in the semifinals, you know, it felt really good. And then after I got done with the tournament, it just kept going like, hey, where are we going with this? You know, and it kept giving me more dates and more dates. And pretty soon I made the roster.
Yeah, the semifinal match you had with Will Ferrara was one of my favorite matches in that tournament. And it was Will Ferrara, Donovan Dijak. It was a very deep talent pool. And I definitely think, like you said, you definitely stood out. And here we are 2 years later, and you are tagging with the last real man, Silas Young. We actually like to call Joe the last real IT guy. So I don't want any gimmick infringement, but that's something we picked up. What's it like tagging with Silas Young, and is he always as angry as advertised?
Oh yeah, he's always angry. I could be quite a bitter person, but since traveling with him, I found some new colorful words to call people. And the thing is, he's not angry if you're doing your job. It's like, you know, like if we're on a plane or something like that, and the stewardess is doing her job, he doesn't sit there and yell at her. But the minute they stop doing something simple in their job, the last real man kicks in. I love tagging with Silas. I've known Silas for 16 years. We broke in kind of around the same time. We never really tagged with each other when we were going through the indies. We always wrestled each other. And then one day in Hopkins, Minnesota, the booker came up to us and said, hey, I don't know why this never happened. We're going to put Beer City Bruiser with the last real man, two guys from Milwaukee. You know, Silas hates everybody. Bruiser, you're too drunk to like anybody. So why not put you guys together? And it was like instant chemistry. And we've been going strong ever since then. And it's been a blast. Like, traveling with Silas, you know, when you get past that rough exterior, his mind for wrestling is one of the best minds I've ever encountered. We're always talking about the business. We're always talking about tag team stuff. He teaches me so much, you know, and it's I feel honored to travel with him. And like I said, he's always angry, so I did learn some new colorful words to call people.
That's awesome. And you two are definitely one of the, you know, one of the most recognizable tag teams today, but we'll get to that in a second. But just jumping back, you said you have known Silas for 16 years. And I think what a lot of people assume when somebody's in the top prospect tournament is that they're a rookie or they've only been in the business a couple of years. But correct me if I'm wrong, you started in the business, what, 16 years ago?
Yeah. I'm going on my 17th year now. So when I did top prospect, I'd already been in the business, what was that, 14 years? No, 15 years. Top prospect, what it is, it's guys that aren't familiar, that have never been seen in Ring of Honor. This year's top prospect, three guys, I think, that were over 10 years in the wrestling business, you know. And the top prospect aura is, like you said, like it's rookies coming in, but it's not. Like, it's what Ring of Honor thinks are the top prospects on the indie scene right now, and they want to take a look and give them exposure on the national level and see if they can hang, you know. But yeah, I've been doing this going on 17 years, and it's been an up and down battle, but it's been a blast, and I wouldn't trade for anything in the world.
I think that speaks a lot to your character too, you know, 16 or 15 years in the business, and then you finally get your big break in Ring of Honor. That speaks to, you know, your credibility and your staying power in the business too. And, you know, it's something that we all, you know, we all enjoy right now. We all like to watch. And speaking of Ring of Honor, the talent pool in Ring of Honor, for my money, is the best in the business. The ability for Ring of Honor to call, you know, to have guys from England coming over, the working relationship with New Japan and CMLL, you know, Marty Scurll, Will Ospreay, Dragon Lee. You have, being with Silas, you guys have a lot of tag team matches and have the ability to wrestle a lot of people. Is there anybody that you would like see come to Ring of Honor soon so you get the chance to work with them?
Yeah, there's a couple of New Japan guys that I want to wrestle with. Ishii is one of them. Goto is one of them. You know, the cool thing about Ring of Honor having the relationship they do with New Japan and AAA, and now I think it's What Culture Pro Wrestling over in England they're starting to form a relationship with, is getting the exposure to some of the international talent that, you know, for a while you can only watch either on the internet or, you know, word of mouth. And Makabe is another one that I want to wrestle. Now with New Japan and Ring of Honor working together, I'm hoping to get some of those opportunities to wrestle those guys either over here in the States or over in Japan.
So do you also watch other wrestling promotions and follow them? Obviously, New Japan is probably one that you follow pretty closely. Do you follow other things like WWE or Impact Wrestling or any other promotions out there just to kind of, you know, scout out and see what else is going on in the wrestling world?
If it's on TV, I'll watch it. I don't go out of my way. You know, I think to be relevant in wrestling, you've always got to be evolving, and you should always be a student of the game. So keeping an eye on your, you know, other promotions like WWE, TNA. I mean, WWE is the leading national, international brand. So watching kind of what they're doing, what's working, what's not working, you can keep a hand on the pulse of what's going on. Impact, if it's on, like I said, I'll watch it. If I have friends that are on there, I usually turn in to watch their stuff. I catch myself watching on the network, watching some of the older stuff, the old WCW stuff, ECW stuff, stuff from like my childhood. And then if I'm online and stuff, it's a lot of overseas stuff. I like watching Progress Wrestling, ICW UK, from, you know, all those from England, WXW from Germany. You know, I like checking out like that kind of stuff because, again, like I said, the getting the international flair. You know, that's kind of what I'm drawn to right now because it's so unique and so different than American wrestling. I also try to watch out if a company is bringing me in to wrestle. I try to watch some of their past shows just so I get an idea of what kind of company I'm going into to wrestle with. Get familiar with their guys and stuff like that.
Have you had a chance to work in Japan? Because a guy like you, with your look, your ability in the ring, I mean, you've seen a lot of guys, North American guys, go over to Japan and make a huge impact. I mean, earlier days, like Scott Flash Norton was over there. He was huge. Now Michael Elgin spends most of his time in Japan. Have you got a chance to work over there? And would that be something you'd be interested in doing on a more regular basis?
I haven't had a chance yet, but that's definitely on my bucket list. That's definitely a goal of mine before I hang up the boots. Again, Bruiser Brody was one of my idols, and he made his name in Japan. I would love to be a regular over in Japan. And I think where I'm at with Ring of Honor and the relationship they have with New Japan, I think hopefully within the next couple of years that's going to happen. I'm a big fan of Japanese wrestling. I have been for years. And like you said, like North American guys can make an impact. And I think with my character and stuff, I think it'll fit in really well over there. So that's definitely on my bucket list, and probably my number one goal right now is to wrestle in Japan.
Well, I think with Ring of Honor's current deal with them, I hope that's something that happens sooner rather than later. Maybe next year at the Honor Rising show, we'd be really looking forward to that. Now, before we let you go, I want to let you know, each week we do a segment on our show called The Five Count. This week, in honor of the Beer City Bruiser, what it is, this week's five count is top five wrestlers you would like on your side in a bar fight.
All right.
I don't want to put you on the spot. I mean, I'll go first. Joe, we'll get our picks out of the way. And then we need to hear who the Beer City Bruiser is walking into a battle with. All right. Without further ado, this week's edition of The Five Count. All right, so I'm going to go first. Now, being in a bar fight, listen, I'm sure you've been in a couple yourself. You know, it's a tough task. You can't always have the most skilled guy in there. You need the guy who's willing to do anything. So I'm going to kick my list off with Sabu. Then I'm going to go to Taz. I'm going to have New Jack on there. I'm going to bring Cheeseburger in at number four because I feel like he's a wily veteran and he's got some got some quick skills. And then number five, I'm going to go with – Exactly. Number five, I'm going to go with Brock Lesnar. Joe, what do you got?
I think we got it. You got to have Lesnar on the list. That's an automatic. I think the Sandman could put down some pretty good beers. Yep. I feel like he'd be pretty solid in a bar fight. I'm going to throw the APA in there because they've had a lot of experience with the bar fights.
Okay.
Stone Cold drinks a lot. I'm going to say I'd like to have him in there too. And I like your call on Taz. I feel like that's a good move. He'd be suplexing people through the bar or through some glass windows and stuff like that. That's definitely going to happen.
You get close on Taz, he's going to lock you in a hand and arm and you're going for a ride. All right, Bruiser, let's see. Who are we walking in with?
All right, I got Harley Race, the Crusher. We got Silas Young. I've seen him in bar fights, and I know he can hold his own. Definitely going to go with Taz. You guys have a good idea there with him throwing people around and submissions and whatnot. And let's see, my number five would probably be, I'd probably go with somebody along the lines like Scott Steiner. He's a big guy. He's insane. So, you know, he could probably take a hit to the face and keep on going.
When you said Scott Steiner, we both cringed. We were upset we missed that one. And actually, now that I think about it, honorable mention, I would put Haku on the list.
Oh, yes, Haku, definitely. Haku is for sure. So my five part would be a two part. It'd be Scott Steiner and Haku.
That is not a crew that anybody would mess with. Listen, you guys, Ring of Honor has a huge show coming up. Super Card of Honor from Lakeland, Florida on April 1st. There's been rumors of it, but it's not confirmed yet. So we're going to get yourself and Silas Young versus the Kingdom. Is that true?
That's right. It was confirmed today. It's a tag team match now because of T.K. O'Ryan's injury. So it's now just Silas and I against Vinny and Matt Taven, the Kingdom, in a tag team match.
That show, and even better news today for Ring of Honor fans, is now you could catch Super Card of Honor on Fight TV, which is literally my favorite app, and I'm not just saying that. If you're a professional wrestling fan, if you're a combat sports fan, Fight TV is the way to go.
Yeah, and the card they have listed, I mean, it's worth the money alone. I mean, Fight TV, we've got a lot of good stuff, but I know this is one of the things they're going to be pushing really hard for. Just because that card that the Ring of Honor is putting on that weekend, I mean, it's going to be the biggest card of the year.
Yeah, and we were in attendance 2 weeks ago for Manhattan Mayhem. And, that you know, that's not necessarily a house show, but that's a show that Ring of Honor tapes and they do the VOD. And I think there are thousands of people that would have paid money to watch Manhattan Mayhem live. And I'm glad Ring of Honor is doing that with Super Card of Honor because I'll be in front of my phone. Well, actually, I stream it to the TV, but I'll be watching it.
And the cool thing, too, is like you saw at Manhattan, at the Hammerstein Ballroom, is you don't know what's going to happen at a Ring of Honor show. Like you said, yeah, it was a house show. It was taped with VOD. But, I mean, look what happened. You had the Hardys show up. Nobody knew they were going to be there. You had Bully Ray show up at the end, you know what I mean, sign his contract. Like, that's at a house show. Can you imagine what's going to happen at a card like Super Card of Honor? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's a big thing.
Yeah, now you got us excited, you know, teasing stuff going on. No, we're really looking forward to it. We can't thank you enough for coming on. Beer City, tell us where people can find you and also about their Pro Wrestling Tee store.
All right, my Pro Wrestling Tee store is prowrestlingtees.com/BeerCityBruiser. I got some new shirts up there right now. You can find me on Facebook. My fan page is the Beer City. You can find me on Twitter. It's at BCB Winchester. If you want to book me for any events or anything like that, just go through either a DM on Twitter or shoot me a message on the Bruiser page. And like I said, come and buy my t-shirt off Pro Wrestling Tees and check out ROHWrestling.com for any Ring of Honor news.
All right. Listen, we sincerely appreciate your time. We're looking forward to Super Card of Honor. We're also looking forward to throwing back a couple dozen Yinglings at War of the Worlds in a couple months.
Yeah, I will be there.
That's awesome. Thank you very much to the Beer City Bruiser for joining us here on the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast.
Thanks, Ed.
He was the Beer City Bruiser, and we sincerely appreciate his time.
We do. We do. We appreciate him sifting through the technical difficulties with us. It was a great – I thought it was a great interview. He was a great guy.
Yeah.
A great guy to talk to. I thought it was
Do you realize the Beer City Bruiser had more patience for you and I than we had for you and I? Just the rage that I felt trying to connect to the Bruiser and the Blog Talk Radio. But you know what? All in all, what a great guy and what a great guest to have on the show.
Yeah, no, that was definitely a lot. That was definitely a lot of fun. And you know, Ring of Honor's got, like you said, they have the big card coming up later this month. They've had a bunch of big shows, right? The last, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks between the Manhattan Mayhem show, with all the surprises we were talking about, the 15th anniversary show, a week after that. Now they've got Supercard of Honor, right, WrestleMania weekend. And then they've got the New Japan guys coming in May with some big shows out here. One of them's out here in New York as well. So there's a lot of cool stuff happening in ROH. And yeah, I'm glad to see that that Beer City Bruiser is getting all, he's getting, you know, he's on all these shows, right? He's got matches on all of them. He's teaming with Silas against the Kingdom in next weekend. Hopefully he gets on that card in New Japan. It sounds like he wants to work a lot of guys in Japan. So
his style, his gimmick, his look, he'll have no problem getting over there. So, you know, next week we'll do our prediction show for Supercard of Honor. For maybe we'll do that other Schmesselschmania show,
something like that. Yeah,
yeah. I'm more excited about the now. We were just talking about, actually, funny. Joe and I were on the phone yesterday. We were looking at the Supercard of Honor show, and we were hoping there was a way to watch it live. And thanks to Ring of Honor, now today we're going to be able to watch that. So maybe we'll do some dueling Ring of Honor NXT night. Maybe I'll make some weenie tots. I don't know. Maybe I'll throw back a couple of dozen beers in honor of the great Beer City Bruiser.
Kind of want a Yingling now, right?
Yeah. God, I never want a Yingling more. So we appreciate you guys joining us. And go ahead, check out his Pro Wrestling Tees store with Beer City Bruiser, Facebook, Twitter. If you want to check out us, we thank you sincerely for listening. We are facebook.com/allnightlongwrestlingpodcast. At All Night Long WP on Twitter, at Instagram, and spreaker.com/show/ANLWP. I'm so mentally fried from this breakdown we had. I'm shocked I got through all those letters.
I can't believe that my ears aren't bleeding.
Yeah. I'm going to beat my head against the wall, but you know what? No, we're going to be fine. And again, we appreciate you guys listening. Comment, questions, concerns, anything you want, contact us. We're all over social media. Joe's up into the wee hours of the night watching Impact reruns from 2007. So
that's true.
It is. It is true. Fight, you know, Fight TV. It's awesome. All right. Once again, he is a Stallion. I am the Enforcer, and we are tapping out this week.